speech. It's called the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Mm-hmm. It's a United States federal law that grants the president authority to detain or deport non-citizens from countries that the U.S. is likely at war at, for example.
But Bill, on that one... Is it not likely that some people will go to the courts and try to challenge it?
Well, executive order. He is taking some actions, the actions which he can take as president by executive order. Yes, there are some things that he wants to do in his policy moving forward which will require Congress. But today, the things that he can do at the stroke of a pen, he's going to implement today. So you should expect more than 50 or more executive orders which he will sign today, which will, some of them will take effect immediately. Some of those things will start to see ICE moving into cities from tomorrow. So, expect shock, but it was anticipated. It's things that we knew he was going to do, but expect the scale of how it will be implemented.
When do you expect the courts to actually intervene if people just take those matters to court?
Well, we know from his first administration, you're aware that I have covered the Trump administration when he was first in office. What we saw last time when he was in office is that sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is how it's going to happen, let's just see what is actually in the executive order, and I will start to see that very shortly here when we start receiving it from his administration so that I can read the texts and so on. But what I would expect is that what he's going to do is going to be more and far greater than former President Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower is the one who implemented the Japanese internment. What we should expect to happen now is going to be worse than that because Trump has said it will be. So I am going by what he has promised he will do. Part of that, you ask about people's processes, part of that is what we saw last time. He withdrew some resources. So say, for example, I'm just giving a hypothetical example. I'm not saying that's exactly what it's going to do, but this is what we saw last time. Last time, we had people who had visas who were already, say, for example, in Nigeria, and they had traveled to another country and were now coming back. And on the day that he issued the Muslim ban, they were not able to return through a border, for example. If you have an application that is maybe already being processed, he can withdraw resources, and so it may very, very, it can slow down or freeze the process. We saw many areas of the immigration process where you just put a total freeze. So then nothing moves in applications and things of that nature. What I'm saying is let's see the details now. It's not that we didn't see this before. We saw it. We saw him do it in the past. I'm expecting him to do far greater than what he did in the past. But we have seen him do it in the past.
Mm-hmm. And let's also talk a bit about this controversial Panama Canal. Mr. Trump had, of course, invited the Chinese President Xi, who could not come, and sent his vice president to represent him. Of course, usually we don't see foreign leaders coming for the inauguration, but there were quite a number. You can talk about that. But what is your take on the Panama Canal and U.S.-Chinese relations?
Okay, sure. I'll just speak very, very quickly because I am going to have to go. Mm-hmm. So the Panama Canal is not a surprise. I know people might say it's a lot of bluster from Trump, but the Greenland and Panama Canal are things that he has mentioned in his past term, in his first term. The Panama Canal is something that he has always wanted to do. Greenland is something that he has always wanted to do. He just didn't manage to achieve the things he wanted to do in his first term. This is his last time that he will have an opportunity to become president. So again, he's thinking about what he wants to do in terms of his legacy, as well as this great power and near power competition between himself and the Russian Federation. If you look at the distance between Greenland and Russia in the Baltic Seas there, these are national security interests of the Republican Party, and he is the leader of the Republican Party. Panama Canal, Trump has always wanted to take the Panama Canal back, so I'm not surprised. Let's just see the details here. When you talk about U.S.-China relations, remember, the person that he wants as Secretary of State is Marco Rubio. Marco Rubio has always been a hawk on China policy. The head now, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations, is Senator Risch, who was ranking member last time. Senator Risch has got a very specific approach towards China relations with the United States. As well, Elon Musk, who will be housed in the Eisenhower building on the White House campus, in the White House grounds, has also an influence and will be advising President Trump on these things. So let's just see how this will develop. Now, on the dignitaries that you mentioned who are attending, yes, we saw the former presidents, living presidents, Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama. Of course, Michelle Obama was absent, and we were expecting her not to attend. Yes, you're quite correct. This is the first time in U.S. history that we have had foreign leaders attend. Okay. The vice president of China, yes, Hang Zhen, is the one that President Xi Jinping, who himself is not attending, was sending in his behalf. The tech titans, or the tech giants, if you will, Mark Zuckerberg from Meta, Jeff Bezos from Amazon, Elon Musk, as we already saw, Tim Cook from Apple, TikTok's CEO Xu Chu, and Google's Sundar Pichai. We saw all of those sitting right behind the executive branch family, the first family's family. So their extended family. This just shows you the level of influence. Now, I just want to mention something. If you take a look at just Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk alone, the tech giants alone, together, if you combine their wealth, they have a wealth of $885 billion together, more than the GDPs of 19 countries put together. Mm. So I know, yes, people might say this is unique and so on, but in the study of international relations and geopolitics, individuals who themselves have greater GBT than some many, many countries, mm-hmm. it's not unknown for them to have influence in the relations between countries. It's not unusual. This has been studied. We've been looking at this in academics. There are journals written about this, even out of Oxford University. So it's not unusual. It's not unusual. I think that, you know, just because we didn't see it in another presidency, we see this happening in other countries, of course. Mm-hmm. But you know, what's going to be important is to understand now the specific details and how these relationships unfold. You know, I know people have been talking about things like oligarchies and corruption and things of that nature. But we have to now really look at these individuals, what they will be doing, how they'll be implementing it, and so on. And of course, as normal, hold power to account, as we've always been trying to do, trying to understand American politics and how it interacts with the rest of the world. Yes, President Trump is going to have a certain approach towards Africa as well. We already know that he does not intend to let certain African countries continue to have the benefits that they were having before. We already know that that's going to happen, and we heard it already in Marco Rubio's testimony on the Hill during his congressional hearing. I'm going to have to drop off now, but all I can tell you is, yes, the tech giants have a combined wealth of $885 billion, and like I said, that is a wealth of more than 19 countries' GDP put together. And that's just three people, okay? Mm. So, and I'm talking here about Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg, just those three. I'm not even talking about Google or any of the others.
Thank you so much, Pearl.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Yes, thank you so much. Now, turning to you, Mr. Moyo, I've been going through these proposed, or let me say, the executive orders. Now, what's there for Africa here in Zimbabwe?
I didn't hear anything.
So
all I heard is we're coming after you Zimbabweans who are living in America. Because basically this is what happened even with Trump's first term. We saw a lot of immigration applications from Zimbabweans delayed. Even up to now, some of them were so pushed far back that they started taking the new ones before the old ones, just to try and make sure that they can move this process much quicker. You can imagine what's going to happen now to all our brothers and sisters who have their asylum cases waiting. It's really gloom and doom. And then you look at what's happening now. I understand Americans, not even Zimbabweans, there are some who are fleeing into Canada because they just cannot stand the autocracy that's coming into the White House. And you have Trump, on the other hand, talking about Canada being the 51st state of the United States. Can you just imagine what it does to those people who are trying to escape from the U.S. into Canada? It's like, geez, where can we run away to now? Because America is losing its high ground on morality, because you have a 34-count felon voted president of the country. The other countries are looking at America and saying, you really can't tell us anymore about rule of law and high morality standards, because your country has been trashed.
Kodwa yena ngokubona kwakhe lapha eMoyo uza kuthi yena ukukhangela okweMelika hatho okumanye amazwe, iAfrika lokho ngwayo, iZimbabwe ngwayo, so lapha America first.
Yeah, well, that was his campaign on Make America Great Again. Siyazi ukuthi iBritain ike yadlula istage esifana naleso okuthiwa splendid isolation. UTrump uzama ukwenza the same thing, ukuthi athi yena sifake America first. But kumele abantu ba-understand ukuthi iAmerica, so isikhathi sokuthi i-nation, we live in a, sesihlala ku-global village manje. Sigulama interactions amaningi kule trade and so forth. You angeke ube le policy ethi wena uphakamisa elakho ilizwe kuphela, amanye amazwe lawa to hell awunandaba nawo. Awusebenzi kulesi sikhathi esikiso lapho esiphila khona ku global village.
Of course, for those of you who are just joining us, good evening. We are talking about the inauguration of President Donald Trump. He is now the 47th president of the United States of America and has promised to sign executive orders as part of his policy and what he promised largely during his campaign. Manzwat Chitaura na mu nenyanzvi munyaya dzezvematongerwo enyika, Pearl Matibe anga achitaura iye nezvimwe zviri kutarisirwa kuti zviitwe navaTrump, zvinosanganisira nyaya yekumisa kupinda kwevanhu zvisiri pamutemo, ku southern border uko, tingadaro kuborder reAmerica neMexico. Kune vanhu vakawanda vanenge vachipinda imomo vachitsvaga upoteri. VaTrump vati vari kutumira mauto ikoko, uye vachaenda kunozvimisa. Tataurawo nedzimwe nyaya dzavati vachagadzirisa dzakafanana neku Panama Canal. Vavimbisawo zvakare kuti vanenge vachichera mafuta ekufambisa dzimotokari, kana kuti oil. Imo muno muAmerica pane zvakawanda wanda zviri kutarisirwa kuti zvinotanga kuchinja kutanga nasi. But back to our in-studio guest, Mr. Moyo. Mr. Moyo, let's talk about the relations between Harare and Washington. We understand from 2001, former President Bush imposed sanctions on some individuals in Zimbabwe. Then it was President the late Robert Gabriel Mugabe. Now it's President Emmerson Mnangagwa. And we have seen that successive administrations in America have maintained those sanctions. Do you think Mr. Trump is going to remove them, the targeted sanctions, or they will be maintained? What's your take on that?
I think Trump would even want to increase the sanctions, in my opinion, because remember, he looks at countries like Zimbabwe as assholes. That's what he called them. So the relationship that's there right now with Harare. I won't even say there's even a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an issue of acknowledging that the other exists. But with the sanctions and what we are seeing pertaining to Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa is exhibiting the same traits as what Trump is doing right here. He's brought in his authoritarianism full force in Zimbabwe. And Trump, on the other hand, is going to use that to attack him when he's also doing equally the same thing, the side. You see now with Mnangagwa pushing for a third term through his proxies, I wouldn't be surprised with Trump yet. Some people here, even his own cousin Mary, who wrote a book, said, beware of this guy here. He might even try to change the constitution and push for a third term. And he'll be following on E.T.'s footsteps. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm saying the world is coming to a chaos right now with the kind of leadership that we have. We have people who think about themselves. Can you imagine Trump just yesterday, he came out with a coin. And he's promoting cryptocurrency now, which he was promoting when he was campaigning. But now he came up with a coin,
mm-hmm.
named after himself, and another coin named after his wife.
Mm-hmm.
These coins are going to be traded in the stock exchange just like stocks, but they don't have any backing. There's no company behind. It's just Trump's name. So this is just people hoping that they'll be able to sell them down the line at mm-hmm. a profit.
Mr. Moy, we'll come back to you. Mm-hmm. I think we have our reporters,
yes, Lassen Tungamili and Lotjonga Kandemir.
Yes,
yes. Yes, what's going on?
I want to look at the arena. But I get covers in our name in Pena, Trump is Kangaluchi, a figure goes Kasana, Islam, the Lai of Nawani, Ange, Nege, Avat, Savanti, and Loka with the Sandago, Tata is Punasaki.
So, not in my mouth is over the Kuluma, Nakonoko Kunyum, Nums and Trump, but in into.
I am a man of an atom of a eco, the woman in the key. She has to Trump and she said, I could. Most of what I want to go goes at the immigration. Eco Akulum and Nako, the general side, those are the Valley of Mohele, OMX, the Medica, who's the one to win at the Pasayan, Archer, to get our boots of Kota, the Fuji. Which I have been our daughter and lady, so don't know, you know, Dava, a very Trump, I mean, I don't know for a concussion. Okay, so Alam Sanji, who promised the legal center, that is more. So we sign an executive court, I hope, but I wouldn't say the interventor and the candidate was there. The Kurmejalo. What our long note, which is a Satamaya trail or a long sum note, a three-lay oil,
who fight, sabona phakathi kwehelicopter usitshele kancane ngakhona oku ukuthi nxa kade ungumongameli usuka njani khona ngale lapho okade kufungelwa khona nguTrump.
Yeah, kule kwama-protocols esingathi ayalandelwa ngoba esuka nje uBiden kathesi akabi ngumuntu nje makhaza ofana nawe nami. Kukhona okwenziwayo ufana nokuvikelwa. Or former presidents were again over. I want to one is it? I said, don't you mind the president? I want to one name of Funogum, the Mazo, Funogum Bundana. Gungako Biden, who Biden is a sugar game, as he started in Giovanna, as a Skirega case. Giovanna was sweet, who called Nogula and the Lawyers, who called India and Legends and England the Lawyer. So, who's the Gay and the Putia Sugar, here, California, other Salaconali. Uza kuyena edinawe kuzohamba njani ayine imininingwana engasoze ive ngendaba ze security kodwa kusesukile uba kuBiden usemelele ukuflya ka eCalifornia singa lapho asazi ukuthi behamba njani
ngamafishane ke kuyayenzakalani kusukela kathesi kuze kuyefika ihola lesikhombisa ngamafishane sebe
njengokusho kwami singapha eCapital Arena uTrump uzabuya ethule abazi yakhe kukhangelekile ukuthi kuzongasayina amanye ama-executive orders ngapha eCapital Arena la akhulume ngawo ukuthatha isifungo ngale Congress then esuka lapho uza uyake eWhite House okwisigodlo sikamongameli sesiyaqalisa ke umsebenzi abantu-ke bayabe sebesuka labo sebesiya emakhaya sikhuluma nje bagcwele ndawo yonke abanye baphandla kuma-restaurant lapha kuyadliwa kodwa umqando duze hayi ziyabuya la
hayi siyabonga kakhulu ke ubambe khonapho ungayikatshana namublese
ngathiyende kuna jonga jonga urise Hello, Jonga.
Hello, tukupinda pa security. Saka munogona kuti fonera after 5 minutes.
Aiwa, tino tenda skuru. Of course, Gibbs Jonga is saying that where they are at the moment, there's tight security, and we might have to call them back, say, after about 5 minutes. And as you are aware, this is a very, very important event in Washington, D.C., and security is very tight at every level, and therefore we'll go back to our reporters later on. But back to you, Mr. Moyo. We were talking about the U.S.-Zimbabwe relations, but what we also saw was the peaceful handing over of power. Why is this important in a democracy? Like we saw President Joe Biden and President Trump in one car driving along Pennsylvania Avenue to the U.S. Capitol. Why is that important in a democracy?
It is super, super important for power to be transferred peacefully. It shows maturity on the part of Joe Biden, because 4 years ago that did not happen. There was no riding in the same car with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump decided he was not going to attend, he was not going to see Biden being honored as the president, because he was bitter. Instead he had sent his people on the 6th of January to go and vandalize the very same house today.
Allegation, right?
It's not an allegation. He stood. No, because, he held a rally.
Mr.
He
Boy,
held a rally and said, we will walk down Constitution Avenue.
Yeah, those,
and what happened?
Okay, those who did that were tried. And they were jailed. So
is he not pardoning them tomorrow? He already
he might,
so.
Yeah,
no, he said so
saying,
today. That
we are saying that
those were criminals.
Okay, Mr.
Those
Boy.
Those were criminals.
Mr.
Who invaded.
Mr. Boy, we are saying that if someone is not going to court, let's not use the word that he's the one responsible.
I hear you, my brother, but I dispute you.
So let's stick to the point. We are talking about,
because he stood on a podium.
Okay,
and
Mr. Boy, we are talking about the handover of power.
Yes,
what happened today?
I was
maybe
saying
let's
that is
that.
The maturity of Joe Biden, because that didn't happen 4 years ago. Trump refused to hand over power. If America was not a strong nation of institutions, that would have been a coup on its own. That refusal to hand over power to Biden was an attempted coup. We're being led by a criminal here. So I'm glad that Biden is a mature person here who said, you know what, this is a tradition, it's an American tradition, we hand over power in this way peacefully so that the nation can stay in peace. That didn't happen 4 years ago. And therefore, I applaud the American system, but not the incumbent, not the president who's coming in now, because he has failed to uphold the very same systems that are being afforded him now by a much mature president.
Thank you. I think we have Jonga. Good evening, Jonga.
Yellow Blessing, how are you?
I'm doing good. Tell us what is happening where you are. Of course, our reporters, Jonga, Kandemiri, and Ntunga Milinkomo, just outside the capital. Tell us where you are now.
Yes, Blessing, I think you can hear the instruments there. Mm-hmm. They are setting up, there's a band that is setting up instruments for a show. This is sponsored by Bikers and Amish for Trump group. And they are celebrating and they are going to be playing music. I'm not sure what time they are going to start, but they are setting up their equipment.
Jonga, tichimbo taura zvishoma muchishona. Kune vanhu vakawanda zvakadii panzvimbo yamuri apa? Tiri kunzwa kuti chando chiri kukwidza hamba muti.
Vanhu varipo asi havana hukuwanda sezvinotarisirwa, sezvarambotaura kuti nyaya yekutonhora nenyaya yekuti vanhu vanzi vange vasinganyanyobuda kuitira kukurudzira nyaya dzeutano, asi vanhu vabuda varipo patiri yezvinoizvi. Vanhu vakatiunganei
okay, Jonga,
kuona zviri kuitika, asi vazhinji varungonakidzwa rekunge vangori muchiitiko icho.
Jonga, we just want to go to a live stream. We'll come back to you.
A great senator and very, very smart. The only one smarter than him was his wife. That was... I would have chosen her, but somehow the line of succession didn't work that way, right? But now she's great and he's great. This is a great, beautiful couple and unbelievable career. I just said to him, you are very upwardly mobile, because he hasn't been doing it that long, but he picked it up so quickly. Remember, the first week was a little bit like the fake news was hitting him really hard. And I said, ooh, this may be tough, but... After that, it was smooth sailing for him. He took on everybody. He took on the meanest. I don't want to use the word corrupt because we're into a new system, so let's wait till the corruption begins, because it will. But he took on some pretty mean people, and he handled it well. I want to also congratulate Mike Johnson for the job that he's doing. See, we gave him a majority of almost nothing. And then I said, to make it tougher on him, let me take two or three of the people, right? I said, he'll only have to suffer with that for about 3 months. How are they doing, by the way? Are they, is that moving along?
Totally unified.
I said, do you mind if I take this one, that one, and a couple of others? He didn't mind. He can handle it. No, he's a man that's liked by everybody. I've never met a man like this. You've got two, how many is it, 219 or 220 or something? 220. And of the 220, 219 really like him. I noticed he got one negative vote once about 2 weeks ago. But I think even 220 like him, if you want to know the truth. And that's very unusual. I know a lot of nice guys in Congress, and they have 35 people that hate him. So if you have 35 people that hate you and you only have one or two or three votes, you'll have five, I think. But that's going to be like, you know, the good news is when we get to that five number, it's going to feel like a massive majority. You could be really nasty to a couple of them at least, you know? So it's going to feel like hitting your head on the wall and stopping. It feels so good to stop. But he's done a fantastic job. And Steve Scalise is, he's our hero because, you know, I was with him. You talk about being shot. I was with him. He got some bad ones and his incredible wife and... She really loves him, you know? You never know about that. I've been with other people. They were doing poorly, and the wife is like looking at a watch. She can't get out of the hospital fast enough. How's he doing? Oh, I don't know. He's all right. That woman was a mess. She was crying and crying. No, they're going to take him. They're going to take him. I told Steve when he finally woke up, it was a while, too. The doctor told me it was the most blood they've ever transfused in any patient. They've never done anything like it. And here he is, the picture of strength, right? And he's been a great friend of mine. Right? With a family, because of a family. And what a job you did. It worked out pretty much better than we even thought, right? And I did have a couple of things, you know, to say that were extremely controversial. And between J.D. and Melania, and anybody else that heard, please, sir, it's such a beautiful, unifying speech. Please, sir, don't say these things. I said, I'm telling you, it's going to play great. They say, you're right. For this group of people, it's going to play great. You're the only ones I hurt by not, oh, but we had some beauties, didn't we, Melania? She said, sir, calls me sir when she's angry. No. No, I'm only kidding. I better say I'm only kidding, or the press is going to pick that one up loud and clear. No, but she said, no, I think it would be terrible. It's such a nice speech. I think it's, you know, it all depends on your delivery. How was the delivery? Was it good? But she said, it's such a beautiful speech. You,